This is Dave Kane. I am a resident artist at the Hoagland Center for the Arts, and I have a production company called U Media. I've been making music and videos and films and books for most of my adult life, and hope to continue that. And this collaboration with Paul Wertico and Larry Gray is part of the exciting project that's unfolding right now, and it's a pleasure to be here to talk with everybody about this.
I'm Paul Wertico, and I'm from Chicago. I'm a drummer, percussionist, been playing for, 45 years. And I've been lucky enough to play with some really great musicians. I played with the Pat Metheny Group for 18 years and won 7 Grammys with them. And I currently play with, people like Larry Coryell, but I'm also an educator, so I'm an assistant professor of jazz at Roosevelt University in Chicago.
I'm Larry Gray, and I am a musician located in Chicago, Illinois. I have a long career as a performer, primarily known as a jazz bassist. I play other instruments as well. A widely eclectic background, toured with various groups, most notably the Ramsey Lewis Trio. I toured with for about 12 years, and have worked with many, many different wonderful jazz artists in Chicago and around the world. I, too, am involved in education. I am associate professor of jazz studies at University of Illinois, Champaign-Urbana, but my home is Chicago, so I spend a little time in both places, I guess we would say.
What you guys do together, you call them sound portraits. Dave, maybe you can, being the filmmaker here, try to give us a little bit of a visual of what exactly a sound portrait entails.
It's a good question. We created the music live as a spontaneous composition improvisation, and then we had multi-camera video footage, and from that footage we were able to put together these visual stories, really creating layers with colors and textures, so that brainstorming with Paul editing the video, as we decided that at any given point in time people could see the whole performance, 90% of the time, if they could see everybody in their performance action mode. And the video really became something new and unique and interesting, and one of those videos that you could watch many, many times and not see the same thing twice because of the layers and the colors and the shapes that were a result of this process.
I've got to ask, is there a battle here at all of electronic versus acoustic music? Do some of you maybe have more of a devotion to a certain medium than others?
That's a great question. Yeah, I mean, I think that really is kind of what we're about, blending the two. I think we've all had a lot of experience with acoustic music, and we feel, I'm sure, each of us in our own way, but we are in agreement that acoustic music is really always going to be with us. There'll never be anything that can replace the amazement of somebody making a sound, hitting a drum, or playing a saxophone, playing a guitar. But the electronic medium offers other portals, other sounds that one could never really create acoustically. So I think that this group represents an environment in which we explore both and combine them freely as we see fit, based on what we're doing, and the nature of which is improvisational. So that means that's going to change constantly.
Yeah, and I think whether it's electronic or acoustic, we're looking at colors. But that's the whole idea with sound portraits. It gives us more crayons to play with. So if you have an acoustic instrument, you can have a lot of subtler shades of green, subtler shades of orange and red and blue, which is fantastic. But also the electronics allows us to have more of those kind of sounds, but without having to schlep a lot of gear. It just gives us these options to kind of go wherever we want. And everything nowadays is electronic, too, iPods, iPhones. And so the music, I think in some ways, having the electronic element also kind of appeals to people that are used to those kind of sounds now. Things have changed dramatically ever since the first synthesizers have come out. And once we started amplifying guitars and bass and all that, it's just a natural evolution. So we want to be riding both the wave of the past and the future.
And so, speaking of the live performances, the audience has a role during these performances, correct? In what is being played, there aren't compositions necessarily. Paul, maybe you can weigh in and explain a little bit about how that works.
It's funny because, you know, certain audiences just want to hear what they're comfortable with. That's why pop music, when you go to a pop music concert, you want to hear the hits, and usually the artists are obliged to play those hits. But there's also an audience out there that just wants to hear something that they've never heard before and want to be part of the adventure. They want to see something being created that they're at, and it's not going to happen that way ever again. So I think we found that audience, and we played our record, our CD, DVD release last Sunday, and I couldn't believe how many people came out and said, "Wow, I've been waiting to hear this kind of music for so long." Because a lot of stuff now is, it's the music business, and they crank out stuff that they feel is going to sell. And even with regular jazz, I mean, there's all these new jazz artists coming out with interesting things. But to really play completely free, without a net, we're basically walking the tightrope without a net, and we're not talking about the music ahead of time. We're not doing anything. We're just going up, and then we're just having this conversation on the fly. People seem like they really want to witness that. And when it's successful, which luckily it's been so far, I think it's very fulfilling for the audience. And you know, I've gotten emails after these performances saying, wow, you know, it just brings back some kind of memories for them when music was magical. Because the first time you hear a sound, it's the first time you hear that, it's incredible. But then you hear that same sound over and over again, and people get used to it. And that's the same thing with life in general. But so when you're hearing something that you've never heard before and that's being created on the spot, it's like hearing that first sound for the first time again.
So we're going to go out on a tune here and play one of your recordings from the CD. So Dave, go ahead and set this up for us.
This is a tune called Fundamentals of Project Management. You can learn everything you need to know about projects and management by listening to this song, guaranteed. It starts off with a beautiful introduction with brushes on snare drum and cymbals and iPad with cello played with a drumstick on the strings, moving into different textures and builds into this moment where the groove kicks into a more of a swing groove with Paul playing sticks and electronic kit, and vocals come in and Larry switches to string bass and keeps on going. You'll have to listen to the whole thing to find out how it ends.
Like a good book to all minds.